You there, adventurer? Yes, you. Do you desire knowledge of immense worlds and arcane power? A codex of untold stories and lore? Or perhaps simply easy listening for your daily commute? Then feast your eyes, or more accurately, ears, upon Dungeonpedia. Shit's about to get nerdy in here.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Dungeonpedia, an exploration into the lore of Dungeons & Dragons. We're your hosts, Luan Markell.
Taylor Stanfield.
And I'm Travis Peasley.
So, Travis has been on a hot streak lately.
It's going to become a problem at some point,
yeah.
I can tell.
Right now, it's been very moderate because, well, I'll go ahead and tease this. The amount of money that's been spent has been low, but...
And that has actually surprised me that
the things haven't been expensive.
Yeah, that the stuff hasn't been terribly expensive, because it started with whenever I was researching the game episode, I bought the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons for the Intellivision. I bought the game.
And then...
What was Mind you, no system to play it on.
Nope, just bought it because I could.
What was supposed to be a surprise anniversary gift ended up revealing itself a little bit early.
To be fair,
I know
you did that.
I know. I got too excited. I was worried that I definitely wouldn't have been able to find it again if I had waited until longer.
Well, no, I'm just saying that even though I pulled the package out of the mailbox, it was still covered up. I had no idea what was in it.
I'm a bad liar. I'm the worst liar. I can't do it. Usually, I'm not even kidding. Around Christmas, when I was trying to surprise him with stuff, he'd be like, "What's this?" And I'd yell, "It's secrets!" and run to the other room.
It's true. It kind of became a game at that point for me.
Thanks. So I'll have to figure something else out for our anniversary. But I got him an original ad for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons First Edition.
Yeah.
And, it was mounted on
like placard, like wood placard.
It's beautiful.
And it smells old.
Yeah, so it fed Travis's addiction to collecting things, and now he bought a second ad from that
from the same seller
for the Intellivision game. It's come full circle, y'all.
Those are fun. Also, while we're talking about things that we're addicted to buying, I definitely did buy some new dice.
Mm-hmm.
There's some nice little dice sounds for you guys. But it's already been a theme that I have a long-standing problem with buying too many dice.
It's true.
Yeah. And now it's just me buying...
collectibles.
Collectible old first edition...
Dungeons & Dragons things.
Yeah.
Man, those old advertisements, though... had, such a cool style.
They were just a part of, comic books or the Dragon magazines and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just really good to look at.
Those old, covers of Dragon magazine are really good, too.
Now, I need more of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People talk about, 50s ads, but I feel like that era of, 80s...
Oh, yeah,
those were really good, too.
Very evocative as well.
Yeah, nostalgic for a time period when I was not alive.
Same. However, collecting it is still fun.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Yes. So
collecting things is fun.
Sure, as long as you have the money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, spend responsibly, guys.
But,
you know, it's not bad to buy something and collect something just to collect it. If it makes you happy.
No, not at all. However, I have no good transition into... this episode us collecting stuff. Other than,
we're collecting information.
This is true.
There you go.
Nice.
I guess if someone has the one source book I used for this episode and wants to send it to me, I would appreciate that.
P.O. box. No.
None.
No.
None.
We don't have a P.O. box.
First off, thank you to Morgan Smith at the Tropic Catboy on Twitter for this suggestion.
That is an excellent...
Yeah, also thank you for your username.
Yeah.
Right? It was just too good.
Thank you.
All right. We are covering the Harpers.
The Harpers. I do remember that tweet.
Yes. Actually, that day I looked into it and was immediately intrigued. And then when it came my turn to do research, I was like, nope, gotta do the Harpers. Because it's just...
too good?
It was too good.
Personally, I prefer the flautists, but whatever.
Stupid.
Sorry.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, I got all of this from one source book, which is called The Code of the Harpers. It was written in 1993 for second edition, and it was written by our good friend, Ed Greenwood.
Yay!
I wish Ed Greenwood was our friend.
I also wish Ed Greenwood was our friend.
I wish lots of people were our friends, but definitely Ed Greenwood.
Yeah.
That is fun, though, when everything, like, just comes from one book. It's very, like, nice and neat, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
And it lets you really dig in, you know?
And this is part one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Guys, we gotta stop doing this.
I'm just gonna roll down this train and do a part two next time.
We can't keep doing this.
Can we?
We absolutely can.
So, first off, it's all in Faerun.
Okay.
It's all in the Forgotten Realms.
Nice.
Waterdeep and Baldur's Gate and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good.
The first thing I'm going to cover is, who are they?
We just don't know. We will in a second, though.
Yes. Right.
I first thought that it was like an actual family, like their last name was Harper. It's not.
Oh,
okay.
They're basically a group of vigilantes.
Okay, nice. See, that was my thought, is that they would be like a guild, you know?
Kind of. They're underground and secretive organization. They consist of spies, for the most part, and they actually aid in the common good.
Oh, good. So they're like vigilantes.
Exactly.
And they're like a gang of Robin Hoods. Maybe not quite, but...
Not quite, but it is close. They kind of... go through and they spread rumors. They'll aid merchants and like the common people in like very small ways. Their whole purpose is to fight against and try to stop any creature, human or otherwise, that would seek to do any harm or evil acts and upset the balance of
society.
Nice. I like that.
They manipulate the affairs of, like, all civilizations, doesn't matter, big, small, huge town, small village, doesn't matter. There's probably a Harper there somewhere.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So this is, like, is it, like, different chapters in different places, essentially?
No, they're all mostly connected.
Ooh.
But they have fallen and reformed several times.
Ooh. I don't know why, but that intrigues me so much.
Well, here's a little thing for you. It was from the very beginning and still through most of the reformations, mostly consisted of women, like more women than men.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Nice, 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 nice.
And it was men and women of all ages and most races.
Hmm.
So, specifically, it lists elves, half-elves, halflings, gnomes, dwarves, and even a few intelligent creatures such as centaurs and dryads.
Ooh. Nice.
And there's a reason for this.
Wait, did I miss it, or did you not mention humans?
I did not mention humans.
Oh!
There's a reason for this.
Because humans are boring?
It all kind of... formed because of humans.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not, as much as it might sound now, they're not actually like a super organized group. And this has actually worked in their favor because it allows them to just kind of disappear when a much too powerful force arrives for them to take care of at the present time. They can just kind of vanish without a trace because they're not an organized, a straight organized group.
So it's not
It's a loose organization.
So it's not like if they took out like one key like person, the rest of it would just fall apart.
Right.
Which is handy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works out in their favor. They never gather in large numbers save for there was one time that they did.
Did it not turn out well?
Well... I'll get to that.
No.
Oh, boy.
Something tells me it didn't turn out well.
Yeah. Instead, they usually operate under, like, the single agents, sometimes small groups, like two or three. But mostly it's they gather intelligence or information for whatever they're after. They take out a target if that's what they're doing, and then they slip away and they're gone.
It reminds me a lot of the Friends of Red Jenny from Dragon Age.
Yeah.
They have also been known as those who harp.
Well, I like it. There you go.
Yeah. They have had a few other names that I'll get to here in a minute, but I kind of want to go over this part first. Their main enemies, because obviously an organization like this is going to
have enemies.
Have enemies, right. Whether it be specifically focused or because they found out about them. It's like, yeah, we don't like the fact that they're doing this.
Yeah, because, I mean, they operate, like, outside of the law.
Yeah.
And also
upsetting the balance.
Yeah, kinda. Well, and people that, like, would be their targets are probably also upset about them doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's a decent list of their enemies, but some of their main ones, we have the Red Wizards of Thay. They're the rulers of the Kingdom Thay, and we haven't covered it, but Thay is mostly a slave kingdom.
Right. No, because I think we kind of discussed it very briefly in the Tiefling episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the Dark Dagger, which is a drow group that worships
Lolth.
I swear I tried to practice pronouncing this and it's probably going to fail anyway.
Faerun?
Yes, actually.
Oh,
thank
okay,
you.
Yep.
The God of Thievery.
And yeah. Among other things.
Among other things. There's the Twisted Rune, which is just a powerful group of evil mages. And Lewin, you'll like this one. The Cult of the Dragons.
Yay!
Is actually listed as one of their main enemies.
Yeah, because they're just a bunch of jackasses.
Yeah.
And they're all about, you know, destabilizing stuff and, you know, doing weird, nasty
crimes.
Undead magic crimes. Arrested for undead magic crimes.
So, real quick, I want to just kind of glance over this little, like, introduction in this book, and it's a very long, like, little story that I'm not going to read. I'm just going to
paraphrase
it all. Basically, it starts off with a party being held by the Lord of Westwood.
Okay.
His name is Lord Tharlin.
Lord Tharlin?
Lord Tharlin.
Lord, fantasy name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the village that he ruled over, he kind of ruled it with, like, a haughty hand. He had a hatred for certain nobles of Waterdeep because they called him Lord of the Cabbage Farms.
Aww. Oh, no.
But basically, it's just this party. Like, everyone's having fun. At one point, they're kind of, like, the party's gone on a little longer than it
maybe
should have.
To. Yeah.
But there was a pretty terrible storm outside, so no one could really leave.
Okay.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so, you know, Tharlin just, like, calls for more wine and goes and takes a seat. And it says, the goblet, when it came, was borne by a man not seen in the hall before. Which is always a great start to a story like this.
Oh, yeah.
There's a live band, if you want to call it that, I guess.
Live music.
Live music. Basically, there is one single harpist who's been playing this show the whole night, strumming away on this harp.
I bet there's nothing suspicious about them whatsoever.
Not at all.
I don't know why they, like, pointed them out like that.
That's so strange.
Yeah, why would they do that?
Well, the person that brought the wine was an assassin sent there to kill Tharlin.
No way.
What?
Shocker, I know.
I didn't see that coming.
But Tharlin managed to avoid the first strike, and before his armsmen could actually, like, do anything, before they could even really grasp the sword, there was a very sudden shrill note that rang out.
Oh.
From the harpist.
Ooh.
And the blade shattered in his hand.
God damn bards.
Damn.
The harpist then cast her harp into the air where it played on by itself.
God damn bards.
Oh my.
As that's she so leaped pleasing. At the assassin.
Ooh.
The killer bent on still trying to like finish the assassination that he failed the first time.
Right.
Goes to reach for another blade, and the harpist jumps on him, grabs his wrist to stop him, and then straight up just like grabs his throat with the other hand.
Oh.
And holds on.
Uh-oh.
It notes that the assassin was actually bigger than the harpist.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to like shake her off and couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she basically just held on until he died because she like choked him with one hand.
Choked
what a badass.
While her harp is up in the air playing.
That's inspirational.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
That was an interesting twist, though, because I definitely thought that it was going to be like the harpist was like in on it.
Yeah.
And also trying to kill this noble guy.
Yeah. She then pretty much told him that he was arrogant and foolish, but they see him as necessary. And then left him with a warning.
Imagine someone telling you that after you, like, almost died.
Right?
You're like, hey, I know I just saved your life, but also you kind of suck.
Yep.
So you're only alive because we want you to be right now.
Pretty much. She left him with the warning that when next you are moved to Cruel Pride, know that those who harp are watching.
Ooh.
And know also that we watch far better than your men here.
Ooh.
And then she left.
She dropped her mic and left.
So that was just kind of like a very
quick introduction.
Quick introduction there.
That's a fun like anecdote.
Yeah.
That would be like at the was it like the front of the book?
Yeah, it was like the introduction.
Oh, that's delicious.
The book also had several like quotes from different like members of the Harpers and stuff like that, but I'm not going into that.
Oh, I love that. That's
we're going
great.
To go into now the history of the Harpers, basically from when they were formed, and I'm only going to cover until their second reformation, I believe.
Okay.
Or right after their second reformation. One of those two. Anyway, because of how this whole group, band, whatever you consider it is, the history is kind of confusing and very, like, shoddy.
Yeah, right.
That like, makes sense.
Yeah.
And it was intentional because they're trying to keep as much of the information about them
secret.
As secret as possible. They have a watchword that they follow that is basically, Harpers keep secrets.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much any who join are told that. And you actually mentioned this very briefly in the last episode. This actually starts back in Myth Draenor.
Ooh.
Oh, I was like, I had no idea where you were going because last time I did dragons and I was like, I did.
Yep.
Okay.
Very briefly, we talked about Myth Draenor.
Yeah.
And it is back at its creation back in 261 DR.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the whole thing, and I'll actually probably cover Myth Draenor later at some point, too, because the history of that's kind of interesting. It was built by elves. I mean, it was an elven city.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that instead of trying to, like, ignore the humans, they realized they were much too powerful and
they couldn't.
Yeah,
they really just couldn't. They were too powerful. They were too cunning. They could adapt easily. So instead, they invited all races in.
Yeah.
But they still kept an eye on them because the humans, as we have learned, have done a very lot
humans
of bad things to
lots of people,
humans including elves.
Humans are shitheads. But also, like, has flashbacks to all the times that, like, the elves were, like, at war with each other and, like, doing all kinds of stupid shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, humans also suck.
Yep. At one point, right after the creation of Myth Draenor, the most experienced elven generals consulted with their most trusted human rangers and druids that they had invited in. And together they decided a secret organization was needed to work for the cause of good, but it had to be separate from everything else. They couldn't be loyal to any ruler because that would inevitably just
end up
doing the opposite.
Yeah.
So they worked in secret and talked about it and agreed and said, hey, we need to do this. They have to work outside the law, outside the politics, secretly, and we need them to help put evil down.
Right.
Pretty much. So there was a very powerful elven mage during all this that stepped forward. She took the name Lady of Steel.
Ooh.
She agreed that she would head this band of heroes. So she was the first official leader of the Harpers.
Yes, bitch. Get it.
She
get what? It.
Get just it.
It, I
just
guess.
Get it. She would make the decisions with a council of elven mages and three humans. One of whom, and I can't remember if we have said this name before or not, I have seen it several times, was a very young Elminster Amar.
Elminster was one of Mistra's most special chosen.
Yes.
He was responsible for, I think, what would be her most recent comeback in, like, the 1300s or 1400s DR.
He also has a very interesting story.
Yeah, Elminster's a really interesting guy.
Mm-hmm. And the dude was virtually immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mistra.
Yeah.
Yeah, because her chosen didn't age and didn't die. Well, I mean, they could be killed, but, you know,
yeah,
they didn't age.
But the Lady of Steel took this over, and with the council of the Elven Mages and the three humans, set to work to figure out how this was going to work.
Right.
I do want to note, and just because it's kind of an interesting name, her common name was Dethlu Mistwinter.
Nice.
Nice.
She was the last living member of an old elven family whose symbol was a harp between the horns of a crescent moon surrounded by a circle of stars on a black background.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
And this, inevitably, became the symbol of the Harpers. The crescent moon with a harp in between it.
Nice, nice.
A plus.
They figured that in order to keep everything as secret as possible, they would meet at twilight in hidden places in the Elven Court Wood.
Ooh.
And they were guided by the sounds of a harper once they got near a known landmark.
It's kind of like how we meet in the middle of the night to talk about weird stuff.
Pretty much. And this actually got the name the Harpers at Twilight. So they were originally just known as the Harpers at Twilight.
That's nice.
That is nice.
Just evocative.
Yeah.
How it happened. So after that, they took to their nature and, like I said before, began to subtly, like, manipulate and originally more take up arms against, like, the orcs and the cruel mages and
people doing bad stuff.
Anyone that was attempting to do evil or any bad atrocity, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, as Mithdrainor grew in power and wealth, it attracted more and more of, like, these evil beings, these evil creatures.
Yeah. Unsavory sorts.
And the Harpers began to dwindle in number due to this.
Aw.
They just weren't able to keep up with the rapidly growing enemies.
Right.
They misjudged how quickly it would grow. And eventually, Mithdrainor fell.
Yep.
Which was 714 DR. And with it, the Lady of Steel fell as well.
Aw, rip.
She was, direct quote here, torn limb from limb by the Tenari. The demons that roamed around Mithdrainor and attacked it. She took out several of them
with
her. Yeah,
she, like, went down fighting.
Yeah.
And her death triggered numerous failsafes that, like, exploded all these magical traps that killed more of them, but
still, like,
she still died.
Die.
In a very graphic-sounding way, Jesus.
Yeah. After that, most of the Harpers kind of died in the following months because for the first time they gathered and fought openly.
Right.
To, like, try to save everyone that they could.
Right. I mean, that's their home and shit.
Yeah.
But also not how the organization was made to work. So, you know.
Yeah, they were.
Probably didn't work out very advantageously for them.
No. And I mean, it was a giant army of demons.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot that could really happen. The following years after that weren't great either. I mean, the Harpers were gone. New human settlers from the south were coming up to the north and, like, settling the lands after everything because the lands had not been touched. It was fertile. It was new.
Right.
And, unfortunately, these particular people brought with them the evils of what they called the Old Empire.
Oh.
And evil of like the gods that they worshipped, including like Baal, like most of like the demon lords.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or the evil, the incredibly evil lords.
Not just regular evil.
Incredibly.
Incredibly evil. They actually joined as followers of the Lord of the Hunt, Malar.
Ah, yes.
In the ranks of priesthoods that are evil. Literally, okay. what the book said. Priesthoods that are evil.
Sure.
They're evil priests. Got it.
There's no better way to convey that information.
Yeah. The cruelties of these men, like, shocked the elves even further.
Right.
Seeing, like, what they thought they saw was the worst, and now these people are coming in and...
They're the worst now?
Making it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my experience with the internet.
Yeah. So, they set to gather together what they could of their folk and started training, like, their young in the art of war. Just like the elves. They were trying to...
Yeah, yeah.
Train up.
Mm-hmm.
And during, like, all this time, someone had the idea that maybe they should contact other human priesthoods that aren't evil and ask for their assistance.
Probably not a bad plan.
Yeah, sounds like it could be a good idea, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up here.
Yeah.
Well, this would inevitably end up being the start of the second reformation of the Harpers.
Ah, okay. So at least good for the Harpers.
Wouldn't it be the first?
Nope, this would be the second.
Well, because they had their formation.
Well.
So this would be the first reformation.
This would be the second formation total.
Okay.
So the first reformation.
I'm
the
sorry.
Second formation.
Be technical.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't like zone out.
And
miss like one time that they fell apart already. I'm sorry.
But we'll get to that after the break.
Damn it. I didn't even realize how much time had passed.
I'm being punished for my use of semantics. I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode all about the Harpers.
So on our usual day when we do our little ad break, we actually got snowed in. So it's just me and Travis in our, you know, snowed in home, as in covered in.
Yeah, it was like 6 inches about around here. So, you know, Lewin couldn't actually
make
come
it out.
In and join us on this one. So it's just us.
Hey.
Yay. Everybody. Hello.
We'll be back to our regularly scheduled all of us next week.
Yes, but for now, ad break and then back to the Harpers. So I guess the first thing, as always, if you like the podcast, you can contribute to our Patreon if you want to, which is just Dungeonpedia. It's on there, has been. We did fix it.
So you can find us now.
Yes, we are actually searchable now. So for anybody that tried before and couldn't and gave up, we're sorry. That was a mistake, and it's been fixed.
Also, if you're interested, we still have our Actual Play podcast. It's still going. It'll still be going next week. Our recording day for that one still was fine. That one is called Projectile Dysfunction, and you can find updates on Twitter at ProjectileCast.
Yes. You can also follow us, if you haven't already, on Twitter and Instagram, which is at Dungeonpedia. And if you have any suggestions, like this episode was a suggestion, you can tweet at us there, or you can email us at dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you can to get notifications before we notify you via social media for new episodes. And from some of those places, you can also rate us and review us there, which really helps us out. But as always, continue spreading the word. We really appreciate it, and it helps us so much.
It does, has, and will always continue to. So please spread the word. That would be great. A big ol' thank you to Alexander Nakarada for our theme song, Blacksmith.
And without any further ado, back to the podcast.
To those who harp.
Alrighty, I'm going to need more of that Harper's content.
Yes, that good, good content.
Alrighty. Well, they contacted these other priesthoods and asked for their assistance, but They also asked for a secret meeting.
A secret meeting?
A secret meeting.
Because it has
a secret meeting.
Yes.
The secretest of secret meetings.
Oh.
Secret meeting. Secret meeting.
I don't have anything else to follow that, but
well,
yes.
You can tell us about the secret meeting. That's what you can follow with.
Yes.
It was going to be held at a location called the Dancing Place.
The Dancing Place.
Yes.
The place where you dance.
Which is a wooded hill in Highdale. And
okay.
It was also where there were already human druids that lived there.
Nice.
And let me guess, they danced around like a maypole naked under the moonlight.
Shit, probably.
I'm mixing a lot of things there.
But like, so does Dungeons and Dragons, so you're good.
Yeah. It just sounds like definitely the kind of place that witches would dance like naked in the woods at the dancing place.
But they also didn't like ask the druids.
Great idea.
To have a meeting there.
Yeah.
Great idea.
But one night, and it says, when dusk came early and a moon rose bright and full and clear on a night when no moon should have shone.
Ooh.
Dryads appeared from the trees in the area.
Hell yeah.
Surprising the absolute shit out of the druids.
Is that a direct quote? Surprising the absolute shit out of the druids?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Interesting choice.
Thank you. And they pretty much like bid the druids to welcome the priests that were going to show up.
So it was definitely some like divine, well, not necessarily divine intervention, but like the intervention of like nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. The druids heard about the meeting through one way or another and were like, guys, please just let it happen. Don't kill them. Don't freak out. Just let it happen.
Also, can you just imagine, like, rolling up to a hotel and being like, hi, we're going to use this conference room right now?
No, I couldn't, actually, because I have, like, social anxiety.
Yeah, like, that would be like, hi, we're just having our little confab here. Please move. And the hotel is like, we're actually already doing something. I don't care. Let us in.
Oh, boy.
And this was, from what the book said, at about 720 DR. So 6 to 7 years after the fall of Mithranor.
Okay.
A lot of stuff kind of happened rapidly after that.
Especially when you consider that a lot of the people involved were elves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like a lot of shit in such a small span of time.
That's like 6 months later.
Yeah,
like,
especially
hey,
for them.
That's like 6 months later. Like, hey, let's go do this now.
And the druids... I mean, they kind of agreed. They were like, okay.
Fine, we had some dryads tell us to chill out.
Like, these creatures that live in the trees are like, hey, let this happen, so.
We're not one to argue with trees.
Yeah.
And the priests showed up. And as they did, the druids kind of watched them, and they started to notice exactly, like, what priesthoods they were from.
Mm-hmm.
You had the priests of pretty much all the elven gods there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also specifically mentioned Denir, Eldath, Lyra, Miliki.
Sure.
Milil.
Sure.
Mishra.
Yay!
Ogma, Saloon, and Temora.
I recognize like three of those names.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them I was like, I don't quite know these, but okay. But, and so they kind of eased up a little bit when they saw what these priests
were
represented.
Priests of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone kind of stood there.
Awkwardly.
Like, all the priests of all these different priesthoods were not used to working with other priesthoods at this point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of agreed to this meeting, but...
They didn't know what it was going to
they
entail.
They didn't know what was going to happen, so they were all just kind of standing there waiting. And eventually, out steps Elminster.
Hey, my boy.
And tells them why they asked them all to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically to gain the support from the priests to recreate the Harpers at twilight.
Sweet.
But also, like, imagine contacting all of these, like, religious authorities and we're like, hey, do you want to help us, like, reestablish our, like, vigilante, like, gang?
Oh, hell yeah.
That is actually a thing. Most of them didn't want to make this decision without communing with their deities first.
Yeah.
For fear of angering the deities.
Right, you don't want to do that.
So the debate started out, what the book said, cold. So very minor and just kind of like a shrug off. And then it quickly became heated.
As it does.
And during the debate, suddenly, several of the gods chose to intervene.
Oh, yay.
They took over their priests.
As you do.
Choosing to
possess your...
Yeah. You're chosen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They chose to manifest in front of everyone using...
Whatever form.
The priests,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, the priests, yeah.
To speak. And, like, all of the gods wound up showing up.
Oh, God.
Oh,
like,
no.
Manifesting and taking over all of these different priests. And the gods started to debate about it.
Oh, shit.
Very minor debate. It basically was like, okay, we know what they were saying, but we're going to give our blessing to this. Like, all the gods agreed, this needs to happen.
Elminster, well, like, goes and hides behind whatever priest of Mistra was there, and is like, Mom, I'm scared!
Shit, help. I didn't mean to.
I didn't mean for it to happen like this! Mom, help!
Mom, help!
And during this, the deities decided that they would give their divine blessings to a certain few of what would be the new Harpers.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There was roughly a dozen of them.
Oh, my.
That survived after the fall of Mithdranor.
Mm-hmm.
And these 12 got the blessings of the deities. They became basically like the elders of the Harpers.
Okay.
Okay.
The blessings also gave them some extra, like, abilities and stuff, but that'll be talked about later.
As divine intervention often does for people.
Yeah. Also, it mentioned that not causing people to go into, like, psychotic breaks, but it did cause a lot of the priests that got inhabited by the gods to, like, age rapidly.
Oh, that sucks.
Barely able to, like, contain the power of the gods within them.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't kill them. It might have hurt them a little bit, but it didn't kill them.
Yeah, I mean, as was demonstrated when Karsus tried to do that with Mistral.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's hard for a mortal to hold that kind of power in their body.
Yeah.
That sucks for them.
Right. Yeah. And from there, we now have the second formation of the Harpers.
Yay.
And this one started out a bit more slowly than the first one. And
I can imagine, yeah.
They did eventually take off, though. They slowly spread, and they used Hydel as their, I want to say, like, kind of storage, in a sense. They didn't ever put agents in Hydel because they didn't want anything to happen to Hydel if they were found.
Mm-hmm.
But they used it to, like, store some treasures and some supplies and stuff for them to be able to, like, go to and grab and then leave.
Yeah. Okay. Because there's, like, this whole ass community living there.
Yeah.
Also, I imagine the druids were, like, watching all that go down, and they're like,
They were just like, okay, we're just gonna leave now.
Maybe don't do this in our home, please.
Yeah, that was the other reason. They didn't want anything to happen to the dancing place.
Yeah, because, like, that's not theirs.
It's, yeah.
You know, that belongs to another group of people.
They were very respectful vigilantes, at least.
That's good.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna be a vigilante, at least be a respectful one.
And they actually wound up spreading from Hydel to Baldur's Gate to Neverwinter to Waterdeep and kind of throughout the north. Just they spread much wider this time.
Nice.
They would use the monasteries that were around for training and for resting when they were wounded. They had a bit more of a organized function now. They still kept it loosely, but it was a little bit better than the first one.
And they also had the blessings of, like, a bunch of gods.
Yeah.
That too.
That's helpful when you're trying to operate also in monasteries.
And so this was in about 720. So up to 996 DR, the Harpers were still active.
Oh, wow.
And at this point, they helped form the Heralds of Faerûn. I say helped. They subtly manipulated
events,
the lords and the kings around to form it.
Right.
they gave the information, they gave the ideas, and they continued to influence the rulers that they had influenced in the beginning, kept being like, yeah, no, you totally had this idea. Good job. Keep it up. Like, that was all you.
That was all you, man. That was all you.
Yep, that's how you get people. Make them think that your idea was their idea.
Yep.
I've never done that before.
The Heralds of Faerun actually fulfilled what was needed of them, and that was to keep accurate records, genealogies, and the histories of the North. Because up to that point, the histories were kept just spread out sporadically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they used the Heralds as a way to keep track of history at this point. And because of the fact that the Harpers pretty much were the ones that created it, the priesthoods backed the Heralds as well. All the priests and the priesthoods that backed the Harpers also backed the Heralds.
Oh, good.
So they had all this backing from these different priesthoods and behind the scenes, the Harpers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they did very well at what they were pretty much made to do. And they kind of perfected their craft a little bit more, perfected their influence over this course of time. But of course, while doing so, their enemies also started to grow stronger as well.
Right.
And their foes started to grow more aware of the organization as well.
Yeah, because they were very active.
Enter the Slavers of Thay.
Oh, no.
At some point, they sent agents to the North to try and take out the Harpers. They kind of failed.
Kind of?
They kind of failed, at least initially.
Uh-oh.
The Harpers also accidentally attracted the attention of these clergies when they destroyed what was called an elite circle of wizards.
Oh, no.
Known as the Wearers of Skulls.
Oh, no.
Literal. Very literal.
Yeah. They were supported by the priesthood of Merkel.
Oh, yeah, that...
Miracle? Merkel?
The old school,
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the old...
Gods of Death? Or something?
No. Maybe? I might be thinking of Nurgle. Or Jurgle?
Whoa, I didn't realize how many names that we'd run into that sounded exactly the same.
There's quite a bit.
Merkel Jurgle.
Okay, so...
Merkel Jurgle, Nurgle, Nirl.
He was also known as Lord of the Bones, the Lord of the Dead, the Reaper, and he was the God of the Dead.
Okay, yeah.
One of the many.
Yeah, one of the many, but in this particular point, that's what he was.
Okay, yes, Merkel was the one who was then superseded kind of by Kalimvor. It wasn't exactly Kalimvor's intention, but he was the God of Death that was followed by Kalimvor.
Still kind of wound up happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Kalimvor.
So they sent liches that were, like, loyal to them.
Uh-oh.
To hunt down the Harpers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You don't want people sending liches after you. That's bad.
Yeah.
You know when people are sending liches after you?
That you're either on the right track or... You done fucked up.
You done fucked up. But the funny thing is the Harpers kind of like just kept destroying the liches as they were sent.
Ooh,
nice. Good like, job.
Like it weakened the Harpers, but it noted that a lot of the rulers were surprised to see lich after lich just being destroyed.
Dang.
Bad asses.
Yeah.
So they destroyed a lot of them. There was something that became a popular sport. Called hunting Harpers.
Oh no, that sucks.
Yeah, it became a very popular sport for like all of the
nasty
evil
people.
Brotherhoods around. And at this point, Elminster and his good friend and archmage, Kelbin Blackstaff, who was also kind of like helping Elminster with not just the Harpers, but
his stuff,
everything else. Decided that it was time for the Harpers to change once again. And they decided they were going to become an underground army of adventurers.
Because, like, you can't just... There's only so long you can keep dealing with, like, these liches being thrown at you.
Yeah.
Right.
So, at this point, the Harpers were once again disbanded for the sake of saving the secrets and saving the people.
Right.
Because of everything that was going on. This was in roughly around like 1020 DR. So they lasted for a good while. And then all this started happening and Elminster was like, yeah, okay.
Wrap it up.
We gotta stop this. And him and Kelbin set out again to find a way to reform the Harpers as a better, stronger version of itself.
And maybe also keep a lower profile.
Yeah.
And maybe that. Maybe not anger priesthoods of, like, the dead.
Literally all these people.
Yeah, perhaps.
Something just doesn't seem... Some things don't seem like a good idea. Ideas.
Yeah.
And admittedly, they didn't mean to. They were just doing taking out this evil circle of wizards, and it just kind of turns out...
Yep.
Sometimes.
Surprise.
That pisses off evil people.
Yeah. But the, I guess, second reformation, third formation total.
Sorry.
Will be talked about next time.
Oh, no.
I do have a few other things I want to go through, which is why I didn't continue that. But mostly it is... the types of Harpers.
Okay.
Elminster episode one. He's such an I didn't know any of this about Elminster. All I knew was about his like whole faith situation.
Right. I didn't really know either, but I was like, he's the more I kind of read, I was like, I need to look at this dude some more.
He's such an interesting guy. So he's had a very full life. So.
So there are a few different types of Harpers.
Mm-hmm.
And this also will kind of help explain their more like doings of.
Yeah.
There's the like, information gathering and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a typical village Harper. They were the ones that lived in like the smaller villages. They would keep an eye on everything while doing a daily routine.
So as not to draw attention to themselves.
Right. They were a villager as far as anyone else could tell, but they had other things going at the same time. They would generally set up by like the main road. So they could see anyone coming and going.
Right.
Any new people that came in. They would then, like, they would do their chores. They'll go to the tavern, take extensive notes on any newcomers that they see. They will check them against any information that they have that has been passed on to them by other Harpers or other informants.
Right.
And proceed from there. If someone happened to walk in that was, like, a target or something, they would... figure out exactly what they were going to do and...
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Do it. And these people were really good at, like, making friends with the village. A lot of the time, they would do stuff like cutting wood for the entire village and...
You know, helping out
They'd make themselves an asset to the community.
Exactly.
So they didn't draw attention to themselves.
Negative attention.
Right. Dang.
And a lot of the time, they would have another informant in the village as well. Not a part of the Harpers, just another informant, say the stable master.
Or so, like the bartenders.
Yeah,
like
so that way they would know what goods came in, how many horses were coming in, who was on it, who was with it, what were these people talking about, how long are they staying, where are they going.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, well, given stuff to do in our like actual play podcast, that makes me like a little afraid of somebody who wants to keep that close of an eye on weird people who come into towns.
Cause you're
weird people who go into towns.
To be fair, I think most parties are weird people that go into towns.
Yeah, but you guys are like, you're not even
like not
relatively normal, honestly.
Like not only do we just look weird. We're also, we act weird with each other. In case you haven't noticed, we're weird. We're weirdos. I mean,
it's true.
We don't fit in.
You're
I'm sorry for that one, you guys. That was a purely ironic joke there.
So then you have the city Harper.
Ooh.
And these ones, you know, in the actual like bigger cities, generally already have an established persona.
Right.
Such as like a wealthy merchant or a courtesan. Some of them could even just be like a street rogue, like part of a rogue group, just kind of...
A thieves guild of sorts.
Yeah, just kind of there. In any case, they have some sort of established persona. these ones were exceptionally good at making friends and making contacts very quickly.
Right.
Your charisma must be this high to join.
And they always have things or interests going on. They keep a busy schedule. That way, they can use this constant busyness as an excuse to show up wherever they want without much question. They can show up in the weirdest place and people will just be like, well, yeah, he's got something going on. He always does. He's always busy.
Yeah.
I hate people like that. I'm never busy.
The ones that are actually like wealthy merchants that run a store generally will employ another Harper friend to like help them when it comes to stalking people like at night.
Right.
Or more subtle things like that, because that would be too suspicious for this wealthy merchant to be skulking around at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the most wizened of guards will start asking questions.
Exactly.
Also, I'm imagining that like before this cover is like well established, like two Harpers are like talking about it. And then like one of them is like, no, I want top billing. I want to be the merchant. And then it like is like a immediate like movie transition to like them stalking around at night looking pissed off because they did not get top billing in that pair.
Aw.
You lose. And then you have the adventuring Harper.
Ooh.
Which are the more powerful Harpers, save for like the elders. And they're the ones that travel across Faerun.
Mm-hmm.
And take the more direct action to things. They're not tied down to a specific spot. They get information.
Wherever they find it.
They go, they take care of it, they go somewhere else.
Nice.
Funny enough, the most skillful of these are not actually the adventuring ones that you would suspect. Not like an adventuring party or like a hunter per se. Most of the like higher skilled ones are usually traveling merchants or courtesans.
No, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because they have like mastered the skill of acting and talking to people.
The bait and switch also.
Yeah. So they're just really good at doing all of the stuff. And then while they're there, taking out a target.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting more information on somebody and then moving on a couple days later, nobody knows anything different.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see that.
And they're also very good at like misleading and swaying people in a direction that's like required to aid other Harpers. Or in a way that would just, like, completely confuse any of their enemies that might be around.
Yeah.
It's like this random event happens and now everyone's confused.
Yeah.
No one knows why. And then the final thing is one of their other watchwords. They have a few. It's actually, like, part of their code. But this one I just kind of liked. It is, the subtle plan outstrips the bare blade.
Yeah.
Sometimes also said as, the soft caress moves more than the brutal fist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I like that one.
But that's just kind of the general information and the beginning history of the Harpers.
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, where do I sign up?
I actually really enjoyed them too. And like I said, I'm now thinking about adding them or something similar to our campaign because it's just too fucking good. And if I decide to add it, you'll never know.
Until we do,
yeah. Until we finally succeed on that investigation check that we, or that initial like perception check that we make on like a new tavern that we enter. And then we like just point out somebody that is so normal looking. It's not normal.
It's not normal at all.
Yeah, they're so... Yeah.
It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, it's bizarre how normal it is.
Oof,
we're on to you.
We're on to you, Harpers. That you know you're out there.
Don't exist in our campaign world yet. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that yet.
That yet always gets me. Always gets us with the yet.
Yep. But anyway, that's all the information I have for this particular episode. Like I said, this is definitely going to be a part two because I just need to...
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
Learn more and talk more about them. It was a very good...
Suggestion.
I've enjoyed it way too much, I think.
Yeah, thank you, Cat Boy. That's all I remember.
The Tropic Cat Boy.
Thank you, the Tropic Cat Boy.
A+.
A+.
Good name. Also, good topic.
Good name, good topic suggestion, good organization. I had literally never even heard of the Harpers before this.
Yeah, me either.
Like, at all.
I hadn't either. Not once. And then I Googled it and was like, oh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my. Let's dig deep.
Which we will dig even deeper.
Next time.
Next time you do an episode, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next one that I do is going to be more about the Harpers. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
Oh, no. What a disaster.
That you immediately actually did your part two instead of going off and doing something else.
Blew in.
Hey, I didn't do that last time.
No, you're right. You're right. You didn't. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. If you'd like, you can follow us on our various social media platforms, on Twitter, on Instagram. They're all at Dungeonpedia. Also, if you would continue spreading the word and telling your friends, we would really appreciate that.
Maybe not about this one, though, because I feel like you're not supposed to talk about the Harpers.
Where are you?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, I already broke that rule.
Damn it. They're going to come get you now.
Oh, no.
Okay. I deserve it. Let's go.
Uh-oh. Travis is ready.
Bring it, Harpers.
Shit.
Oh.
But if you would like to also suggest a topic, you can email us at dungeonpedia.podcast@gmail.com, or, like, really, you can also tweet us.
Yeah, because that's, I believe, what this was. It was a
tweet
suggestion.
Was a tweet.
Yeah, but, you know, that's also a good way to request anything is through email, especially if it requires any more context.
Yeah, like, not just, hey, this is a dragon that I think is cool, but, like, hey, this is an organization and I think you should cover this specific part.
Yeah.
But with all that, thank you guys so much for listening. And we're going to catch you next week right here on Dungeonpedia.
I really need to learn more about Elminster, though.
Yeah.
This man has a lot going on.
Yeah, he really does.